Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast today, brought to you by Your Network of Praise. Now, let's join the conversation.
3 minutes after 8 o'clock, Your Network of Praise. Good morning. Thanks for listening on this day of hope.
Hey.
Hey, Marcy's here.
It's Monday.
Yeah. Hey, do you mind if we take care of some business here before you get to Ron Hutchcraft?
Because I know what it is. Yeah.
Yes. We've been talking about this year.
Totally.
We have a goal of putting 11 new stations, full power stations, on the air. Glendive FM, KGLE FM, went on the air shortly ago. Now, this morning.
Yeah.
Wheatland, Wyoming, KKWY.
Woo-hoo!
On the air. Boy,
welcome.
That's so exciting.
Yes.
I've driven through that area many a time. Welcome, Wheatland, Wyoming. Glad to have you with us as the ministry of God continues through this time through the airwaves. I know a lot of faithful pastors are there and faithful believers. We seek to help them grow in their faith as well as reach out to more. Matter of fact, before I turn it over to you, Marcy,
sure.
Let's just all together pray for the ministry of KKWY in Wheatland, Wyoming.
Amen.
Join with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of being able to throw that switch. Thank you for what it represents. Your Holy Spirit being active and alive at work in Wheatland, Wyoming, and many other places. Thank you for the opportunity to let us collectively as listeners at Your Network of Praise to play a role in that. We do pray, Lord, for the ministry going forward there, that the Word of God would be received warmly, that lives would be touched, that new believers would come along, that believers, current believers, would be enriched in their walk with you, Lord. Guide in that ministry. We put that in your hands. Thank you again for allowing us to play a role in that as listeners here at Your Network of Praise. We dedicate that ministry to you right now. And thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Hey, Marcy.
Hey, Dave.
You have someone you want to visit with?
I really, really do.
Okay. I'll get out of your way.
Good morning, Ron. Marcy here with you. And I'm getting to speak with Ron Hutchcraft this morning. I'm very excited to talk to you. I have this awesome booklet in front of me, A Jesus of Their Own, Fighting for Faith in the Next Generation. Are you familiar with this book, Ron Hutchcraft?
Wait, that rings a bell. Is that by Chuck Swindoll?
No,
oh, wait, I wrote that.
Wise of Ron Hutchcraft, of course, wrote this book. I'm so excited to talk to you this morning. Good morning.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you and be with the new listeners in Wheatland.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Well, think of this now. Go figure, a lighthouse in Montana? That seems like that's out of place. No, that's what just happened in Wheatland. A lighthouse went on. And that light's going to be going out from there all day and every day. And recently in Glendive, and all of your listeners know how thankful they are for YNOP. It is awesome to have lighthouses all over that part, that region of the country. How awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. We are very, very excited to have Wheatland join the crowd here. And speaking of just what they're going to get to hear here on Your Network of Praise, there's all sorts of awesome biblical teaching and music and all sorts of things that are going to bring them closer to a relationship with Christ. And that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning as well, Ron, because what we are going to be talking about today is the next generation, the young people of today, and what it takes really for that to happen. It doesn't just happen on its own. I do believe that parents and grandparents and believers in the church, believers and community can have an influence on young people today. I think you agree.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think that what today's young people, who can seem very scary to some people, and they're really not scary. They're scared.
Right.
And they've grown up in a pretty fearful world, and it is evident. I mean, they have been the COVID kids, one thing. And they know that there is a nuclear world, and even if they never watch the news, they know, they just keep hearing about war all over the place.
Right.
And there really is war all over the place.
Yes.
And this is evidenced in the mental health statistics are just soaring as far as young people are concerned. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time, well, I've always done cross-cultural youth ministry. In recent years, that's really been focused on Native American young people, and your listeners know that very well. They've heard that on your network. But
yes.
They have had the highest suicide rates by far of any kids in America. Here's the scary thing is that the rest of the kids in America are catching up with them.
Right.
And the suicide rates and the anxiety and the depression are numbers we don't even want to think about.
Right.
And it's probably someone we know, even though we don't know that about them. There is a very, probably, if you know any young people, there's probably a very troubled and frightened and perhaps depressed young person there. And social media, what that has done is just elevate and exacerbate the anxiety and the depression, because you get on social media and everybody is trying to, they're trying to present a perfect me.
Mm.
And so they create one,
mm-hmm.
and they'll create a person that they can that everybody will like, and they'll get a lot of likes, and they'll get a lot of hits. And the thing is that I'm a teenager comparing myself in my imperfectness and my flawedness to all these people who seem so perfect.
Right.
The other thing is that used to be if you were being bullied and attacked verbally. When you left school, you left that behind.
Mm.
Oh, no. No. No, it comes home. It comes home with you. It's all over your social media. It's there. You wake up in the night, go ahead, hit your phone, and there they are again, tearing you up. It's a pretty brutal world for teenagers to grow up in. What does that say? Should we all go away and be depressed?
Mm.
Should we take Prozac?
Mm-hmm,
what are we doing here? Nope. The answer is that the presence of one adult in the life of a teenager who makes that teenager feel like when they are with this adult, they're the most important person in the world, can save a life, can change a life, can be the face of Jesus in that life and the heart of Jesus in that life. Today's young people don't need, you know, you say, well, somebody goes, well, I'm not really cool. My kids told me.
I get that.
Terminally uncool. They tell me, remind me regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, this isn't about being cool.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not about being funny. You say, well, I can't remember jokes.
Mm.
A lot of people are wishing I wouldn't remember mine. unfortunately, I can.
Yeah.
But the thing is, here's the key. The characteristic, the quality in an adult, whether it's a parent or a grandparent or a teacher or a coach or just a mentor or a friend or somebody who notices them, is that when they're around you, they feel important and they feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are two things they may seldom, if ever, feel. They're made to feel unimportant and unsafe at school by their peers. They're made to feel, by social media, often they're made to feel unsafe and unimportant. But if you can treat them, you listen to them, you take an interest in them, you are non-judgmental with them so they feel safe, you listen without judging, and you remember the things that are important to them so the next time you see them, you remember their name, you remember the team they're interested in, you remember the band that you saw on their shirt, and you may hate the band, but they don't. It's an important part of their identity to them. You ask them what they like about them, and you start to inquire about their world.
Mm.
You have opened a door to a heart that is hurting and perhaps even in danger. These kids today, Gen Z, by the way, I think, does that stand for Generation Zoom?
It could. It definitely could.
I think it might. is my generation Gen Z, 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 Z? I don't know. But you know, this generation, one of their characteristics is they're turned off by hype.
Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be that we want to put on a great show for these kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Youth group, let's see, every week I got to come up with a great production. Actually, to them, hype is phony.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're looking for, this is what's can be dangerous and can be wonderful.
Yeah.
That they see past all of our institutional stuff and all of our programs, and they see past our packages. They're interested in how real is the product.
Right. They want authenticity.
Uh-huh. Not hype, but heart.
Yeah.
They want a real heart. Authenticity, you said it. Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've noticed it a lot of times when I'm talking to other adults about working with teens, they focus on the behavior of teens, on all of the things that kids do. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, if you get to hang out with them, you'll hear some parallels about things that we did when we were younger. I have my own testimony, my own time of when I was young and making silly decisions. But I do know that it made me feel like adults made me feel like a child most of the time when I was a teenager. And yep. There was a select few that treated me as an adult, talked to me as if I was an adult, and told me things about their past and how God changed them. And that was what was a catalyst for change in my own life, because I was finally being treated as an adult. And I see that with kids that I work with, that they really just want somebody to know that they are old enough to handle having a conversation and not just be scolded all the time.
Marcia, that's beautiful. And I think you're speaking for the Lord here, because he's like, please, folks, he needs, God needs right now an army of adults who make at least one young person a real focus of theirs. And the issue of being personally vulnerable and showing respect. When I said make them feel like, when they're talking to you, make them feel like they're the only person in the world to you.
Right.
Don't be looking around. Don't be looking at your phone. Don't be looking at your watch. Be looking at them,
mm-hmm.
looking in their eyes. And I remember a 17-year-old girl who was told her, a friend of ours, she said her mom was doing laundry, and she said, Mom, I need to talk to you. She said, go ahead, honey. I'm listening. She said, no, I need you to listen to me. And she said, no, I am, honey. Go ahead, tell me. You can tell Mom.
Mm.
And I'm listening. She said, Mom, your hands aren't.
Mm.
Because she was still working with the laundry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, you're listening is your whole body actually is involved
yes,
in that.
Yeah.
And remembering what they said, and not just trying to think about what you're going to say next.
Mm.
Here's our problem as adults. One of our many is we answer before we listen.
Yes.
And Proverbs actually says this: he who answers before he listens, that is his folly, and that is his shame. And we're like, oh, yeah, I know, especially as parents.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know the rest of this.
Yep.
Yeah. And so you're not going to hear their heart. We are totally violating James 1:19 in Scripture, which is a beautiful blueprint for a great relationship. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. Now, we have all those words in our verse. We just move them around. We go, be quick to speak, slow to listen, and quick to become angry. And what you said about we look at their behavior, and we're like, why do you have an earring there? did you miss? Yeah, I mean, you know, we focus on behavior. Here's the deal. I wrote a book called 5 Needs Your Child Must Have Met at Home. And the point of the book was that if you really want to build and change the life of a child, look at the needs behind the deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is all about 5 needs that that drive most of the deeds of our children and probably us as adults. And the behavior is a reflection of a need that has not been fully met, whether it's the need for a sense of real intrinsic worth, or whether it's a need for sexual answers, or whether it's a need for satisfying love, or a need for stable authority, or a need for spiritual reality. Usually it's one of those needs don't go after the deed so much. Go after the need that drives the deed.
Yeah. And to kind of come back to your booklet for a second here, during in one of the chapters here, you're talking about showing young people trust, how that's kind of part of helping them grow. How do you recommend, as this, I mean, I'm speaking as a parent of teens who have moments of, oh man, should I, can I really trust? How important is it to show trust to the young people?
Oh, believe me, those moments are precious memories for me.
Yes, yes.
I speak with my children about their children, mm-hmm. our grandchildren. And so you kind of I've gone from, then I was a player when I was at your point.
Yeah.
Now I'm a player coach or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think the fact is that if you, part of making them feel important, part of making them feel competent, making a part of helping them feel adequate, which they probably don't, is to show them respect by giving them trust. Now, Karen and I worked at kind of on what I call the trust transfer. This is in terms of their you know, behavioral choices, lifestyle, day-to-day choices. And so we would just say, I'll give you an example. Let's say curfew.
Mm-hmm.
Always a wonderful discussion. So you're thinking 10:30 would be good, and they're thinking midnight would be good.
Right.
And so you go, 10:30, that's it, the rest of your life, shut up. That's not exactly...
Just to streamline the process, yeah.
That'll be really effective. But you say, well, listen, let's talk about this, and let's figure this out. Here's what we're going to do. Let's do 10:30 for the next 3 months and see how you do with that. And if that goes well, and if you're delayed, you're going to be late, you call, you know, here's what it means, here's what it looks like, you know, to be trustworthy. Then in 3 months from now, let's make it 11.
Hmm.
And if 11 works, you know, we'll do that for a certain amount of time, and then we'll go to 11:30. Now, that's what I call a trust transfer.
Hmm.
You trade trust for trustworthiness. But you give them a, instead of you being an enemy of their freedom,
mm-hmm.
you become an ally to say, yeah, I want the same thing you want. I want you to be responsible enough to be able to handle midnight.
Yeah.
You're going to have to sometime. You give them a road to the very thing they want. Yeah, they would like it right now, but you've at least given them hope. That there's a way to get there. So trust, and Jesus put it this way, he that is faithful in that which is little is faithful also in much. He gives you a little. If you're trustworthy with it, he gives you more.
Right.
So I think we're following the Jesus plan
here.
And then the other thing is to give them responsibility, to trust them things are coming back to me, flashbacks. I remember that we had a big showdown. Not big showdown. We had a little showdown.
Hey, I know. We've seen
this. A show small. It was over a particular movie of the day that was pretty violent. It wasn't sex stuff, but it was pretty violent. And our junior high son, all the boys were going to see it. It was a must. He was the one who wasn't being allowed to do it. He said, can I please go see it? I won't name the movie, but he said, can I please go see it? And I thought, well, I better make this decision for him. You know,
yeah.
he's under such pressure to go.
Yeah.
And I said, no. I said, I'll tell you what. Let me just tell you the reasons I wouldn't. Okay? And so he's waiting for the, here comes the brick ready to drop. And I said, at the end, I said, those are my reasons, but I said, this is your decision to make. And whatever you, I won't interfere. Why don't you decide? In recent years, he has said, he said, that's the worst thing you could have said. Would you please tell me no? Please don't tell me you trust me.
Right, because now he has to make the decision. It's on him.
But I literally said, I trust you, man. I trust you to make a decision here. And that was just one little example. And we had that over music. We had that with not just with him.
Right.
And later on, as a young adult, he said, "Do you know the greatest thing you and Mom did in raising us?" And I said, "No, I don't." He said, "You trusted us."
That's so good.
Now, trust does not mean a blank check.
Right.
I showed you a way, you know, to kind of earn it. And there has to be some margin for failure. And yes, it is scary when you give them that trust. But I honestly think you should be, and you select where that happens, but I think we should be more scared of the downstream damage of them not feeling trusted than the potential risks of giving them incremental trust.
Yeah. Allow them to make mistakes while they're still under your roof and can still come to you.
And remember you and I and they, we all made plenty of
them. Exactly.
Well, I can't speak for you.
No, but it's okay. I'm in the club too.
I was a 16-year-old idiot.
Yeah, same. So you also mentioned ways to pray. My mind always goes to when we speak about young people and just parenting and grandparents of those young people, my mind goes to those who know young kids who don't know Christ, who don't have a relationship with Christ yet. Whether or not their parents have one, they have to come into their own realization, their own relationship with Christ. It has to become their own. And I know, I always find comfort in the prodigal son's story because there's that part where it says, "And the father said, I'm coming from a long way off." My prayer is always like, "Okay, God, I pray that you see them coming already because I can't right now." But I pray that you see them coming from a long way off. I just love the picture of that story of the son making that decision to come home to the father, and the father runs out to him. There's not even a delay. And that
always... The only place in the Bible, I think, where God runs.
I just love it. I love that picture. But I was going to ask you if you could give some encouragement to parents, grandparents, even those who are just pouring into kids in their community who know that they just don't have that relationship with Christ yet. How can we be praying for these kids? Can you give us some encouragement on that?
You know... And you've already alluded to the fact why I titled this little booklet, "A Jesus of Their Own." Because they've got to have their own, a secondhand Jesus. Mom and dad's Jesus will not do it for them.
Right.
Grandma and grandpa's, the church's Jesus, the youth pastor's Jesus.
Right.
They have to have, not that they come up with a different Jesus, but he's got to be their own personal Jesus.
There's
one Jesus, but he's got to be theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll tell you what prompted, one of the things that prompted the writing of this was I teach at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center, each year. And I got there in time, one time a couple years ago, to hear Jim Symbol, the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle, finishing up a gathering for pastors and wives. And at the end, he just said, "If you have, I'm going to do a closing prayer here, and if you have a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter that you're concerned about spiritually and they're away from the Lord," he said, "and you would like to be included in this prayer, just come on up front here." Marcy, it was a stampede.
Yeah.
I mean, so many chairs were empty, far more empty than filled. And I was sitting in the back where I could see it. I was not surprised because I know a lot of people in ministry, and I know there is an epidemic of prodigal sons and daughters. The enemy in these days of accelerated spiritual activity is going after our weak spot, going after our kids, going after our grandkids. Couldn't get us, but I'll get them. I'll get the leader by getting their kid. And just seeing that visual of all of them at one time really hit me hard.
So I
have been sharing with people recently several ways to pray for a prodigal, whether they never had a relationship with Jesus or they did and they used to sing "Jesus Loves Me" and sing it enthusiastically and they don't anymore. Here are some ways to pray. And a lot of this is based on the book of Hosea, and I won't take time to go over the verses, but in especially chapter 2, this is based on how God told Hosea to bring home this his wandering wife, who was symbolic of what Israel was doing with God. Mm. Well, number one is, Lord, frustrate their sin. It seems like
yes.
a strange prayer.
No,
but
I get that.
God told Hosea to pray that God would put literally thorn bushes around her so that as she tried to go to her other lovers, she would get it just wouldn't work. It would be painful. And so wherever they have run from, whatever they've run to when they've run from God, I'm just praying, Lord, would you make it not work for them? Frustrate their sin, and not because I'm being mean to them. Mm. That's to redeem them.
Right.
And then secondly, Lord, get their attention. And let me just say, he is really, really good at that. And we should all know that. And usually there are things that, whether it's something they can't fix, or they can't change, or they can't control, those are the kinds of things that make us hit a wall.
Right.
And it's when we hit a wall that we tend to look up. And so, Lord, would you do some things to get their attention? Thirdly, block their exits.
Yep.
Wherever they run to, and whether it's a certain group of friends or whether it is a drug or a bottle or a sexual intimacy or wherever they're running or pornography, wherever they're running to, Lord, would you just make, this is kind of like that first prayer, make that let them down.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Just block their exits. Now, here's the important one. Lord, remind them of Jesus. If you could only remember a little of what we're saying here. They must know that the issue is Jesus. Here's what the issue is not. It is not Christians.
Right.
It is not Christianity. It is not the church. It is not the rules. In many cases, in a large number, majority of the cases, studies show that those who are, quote, leaving the faith, are doing it because either of Christians, that they have seen their hypocrisy or whatever,
yeah,
or of Christianity, things that have been done in the name of Christ,
yep,
that are unjust or wrong or unmerciful, or a fallen leader, they're like, oh, well, yeah, great.
Right.
This whole thing is phony.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Jesus said two words. Follow me. And there's somebody listening right now who needs to hear this. I am so glad Jesus did not say, follow my leaders.
Right.
He did not say, follow my followers. He did not say, follow my religion. He did not say, follow my rules. Jesus said, follow me. So the whole issue here, you know, somebody will say, well, I don't believe it anymore, or I've gotten away from it. There is no it. There's only a he.
Right.
There's no it. There's no it in following Jesus. It's all about him. So what is it about him you've left? What is it about him you're rejecting? This Jesus who, as we come to Good Friday, loved us enough to die the death penalty for the junk we did against him. And secondly, out of the 100 billion people who lived on this planet, there's only one who walked out of his grave under his own power, and his name is Jesus. And so this greatest love of the universe, greatest power on the planet, seeking entrance into your life, why in the world would you run from him?
Mm.
You want to run from your parents' faith, whatever, your parents may, listen, this, don't think of this as your parents, Jesus. This is about you and him. This is about you and Jesus, not them and Jesus. So the prayer is, Lord, would you put someone or something in their life that would make them face-to-face in realizing it's Jesus? And then, Lord, do whatever it takes within your perfect will. Now, it's a scary prayer without that last part.
Yeah, it is.
Lord, do whatever it takes within your perfect will to bring them to you. And then finally, just the simple prayer. Lord, bring him home or bring her home. And remember this. This is not when your relationship with them is not about winning an argument.
Right.
It's about winning a heart.
Right.
And a lot of times the things we do to win an argument makes us lose their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have to let go of a child to save that child.
Yes.
And let go. Don't nag them. You can't nag them back to Jesus. You can pray them back. And these are some ways to pray that I know God honors. Mm. And there's a wonderful story in Luke chapter 7. It's not a real famous one, but Jesus comes on a little funeral procession. And here's a widow who's obviously, she's already lost her husband, and now her only son has died. And she's marching along with the funeral procession as they carry his body. And Jesus comes along, touches that young man, and brings him back to life. And there's this beautiful statement in Luke 7:15. And Jesus gave him back to his mother.
Hmm.
My friend, you who are listening, and God wanted you to listen right now for this reason, Jesus is still doing that resurrecting miracle. A child that looks hopeless, that seems too far gone. Jesus is still in the miracle business of giving that son or daughter back to a mother, back to a father.
Mm.
Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop loving. Make sure the porch light is on. Make sure the lights are on. Make sure they know they are welcome home whenever and however they come back.
That's so good. It's so true, too. And if you could even touch on just parents and grandparents who are in the thick of it right now with kids, you know, dealing with that relationship, still have a relationship, but maybe there are some touchy moments when it comes to faith. Like, how do we, you know, it's not just praying for our kids that's important. We need to be praying about ourselves as well. We need to offer ourselves up to Jesus and ask him to influence us and our behavior as well. How can we be praying for support from Jesus in the role of parenting and grandparenting?
That is so good. Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, right, we got to pray for our end of this, too.
Right.
This is a
right.
two-way relationship. Here are some ways to pray for yourself. Lord, show me what is broken in our relationship.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Show me what is broken. We're so focused on what's broken in them, and understandably,
mm-hmm.
tearing us up. But show me what is broken in me. Lord, where have I maybe said one thing and done another, and maybe have been a bit hypocritical? It's hard to face, but I'm putting up, will you be my mirror and tell me what I need to work on? And you think, well, it's only 10%. It's 90% them. Okay, do your 10%.
Right, yeah.
And as you do your 10%, I'll bet you'll find out it might be 20.
Yeah.
It might be more. Who knows? Secondly, Lord, help me see the need behind their deed.
Mm.
Why are they? What's missing? What need are they trying to meet? What are they acting out? And until we get to that, the source, that's what I need to be focusing on. And they need a little more of something or a little less of something.
Mm.
What kind of image of authority have I given them? Has it been hypocritical?
Mm.
Has it been authoritarian? Has it been unforgiving? And then they're going to have a problem with authority the rest of their life in every way.
Right.
They're going to keep thinking of you.
Right.
But Lord, help me see the needs behind their deeds. Then another prayer is, help me see what you see when you look at them. I want to see through your eyes. When you look at my son, you look at my daughter.
Hmm.
What are you seeing? Would you open my eyes to that? And then help me love them like you do. And Lord, I don't always feel love because they're pretty unlovable right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say to a parent or grandparent, right, when your son or daughter is the most unlovable, they need your love the most.
Amen, yep.
And you have your greatest opportunity to make them feel loved. I know this is hard. You say, I wish it wasn't that way. Me too. But when they're unlovable, that's your opportunity. And then, I think the last one is, keep me trusting you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Keep me trusting you. I'll give you a couple, just a couple biblical statements here that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 40 and verse 11 has got a parent or grandparent's promise all over it. It says that he tends his flock like a shepherd. And it says that he carries the lambs close to his heart. Now, I believe in putting names in Bible verses. And so I put the names of my lambs right there. My children, my adult children, their children. He carries Carissa. He carries Noel. He carries Taylor. He carries Doug. He carries Brad close to his heart. And he gently leads those that have young. What I love there is, when you can't be with them, you don't know what they're doing, and you're scared, he gently carries them. He carries them close to his heart.
Yeah.
And he is there always with them, always pursuing them, always guarding them, always loving them. But I'm glad we're in there, too. And he gently leads. I don't know what to do next. I am clueless. This kid has gotten driving me crazy. He gently leads those that have young. There's a wonderful grandma's prayer, and I didn't realize it was based on a statement in Isaiah chapter 8 for many years, but I saw this plaque, and it said, from a grandma, it said, let me think. Dear Lord, on that resurrection day, may I stand before my Savior and say, here am I, Lord, and the children you gave me. What a prayer.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's amazing. I love that. It's so good to be reminded of that it is a two-way relationship, that it's while we are praying for our kids and we want the best for them and we need to allow them to grow up and make the mistakes and be there for them and praying for them, we need to be reminded that we also need to be prayed for, that we also have a role in their lives of influence. And in chapter 3 of your booklet here, you're talking about bulletproofing the future. And I really love what you're saying in this chapter about sharing your heart with your kids, essentially sharing things that you've been through, being transparent with your kids. I think that's so important, and I think it's underused. I think sharing testimony, you just don't think about sharing testimony with your kids. You maybe think about it in a, you know, maybe up in front of the church or maybe in front of somebody you don't know, but it's so important for even your kids or your grandkids to hear your testimony.
Marcy, you're my very best friend for bringing this up. I'm kind of fickle with that very best friend. It could be something else.
I won't tell Dave.
You really? No, listen. Tell your God stories.
Yeah.
Tell your God stories. You have stories of you and God.
Yep.
And not all good, happy ones.
Right.
Because you weren't always happy person. Happy Jesus follower.
Right.
You know, they want to know about you when you were 6 and when you were 12 and when you were 15 and when you were 18. Sometimes they're not even sure you ever were.
Right.
Mom, you were 13?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Really? You had acne too?
Yeah, exactly.
So your stories and... You know when, you know, age graded, you know when to tell them and when it's time. But they need to know about your God stories. And I'll tell you, they may not want to hear your sermon.
Right.
They may not want to hear your, even your verses all the time.
Right.
But when they do want to know this parent or grandparent, And I'll tell you, my son, when he's got two great boys, and they are exactly what he deserved—a handful. There is justice in the universe, yeah. But they're great guys. But they, when Dad starts to tell a story, especially a story about when he did something stupid.
Mm.
Oh, he got their attention like no other time.
Yes.
They're like, tell us more, Dad. And they'll remind him of it often.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, if you want to make a point, you make a point in telling your God story. Mm. You embed it in that.
Yeah.
Don't preach it. You show it in the context of your own life. And they're a lot more likely to hear it because they don't feel attacked.
Right.
Or... preach to,
right.
That you're sharing your life.
It's just your story.
I tell you what, they will, when you're gone, they will wish that, I do, that my parents had told me more.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, and now my grandkids want to know about those things. I don't know. They never told me.
Right.
And they were great people, and once they came to Jesus, but there's just, I wish I knew more.
Mm.
And so tell them your God stories. And that's, by the way, if you read some of the Old Testament stuff about the next generations, they are told, you know, tell them about when you crossed the Red Sea.
Mm.
Tell them about that. You know, tell them about that Passover night. Tell them.
Yeah.
And you have God stories to tell. It's one of the most powerful ways to communicate the truth you want them to know.
Yeah.
But they're also going to get to know you, your vulnerability. You know, an open heart opens hearts.
Right.
And when you open your heart, you will open theirs. And it just creates a climate of openness that we really need in these kinds of days to shape lives.
Hmm.
So I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, because I know my kids love hearing stories about when I was younger. I love to share those kind of stories with my kids. My husband definitely is in the role of sharing those knucklehead things he did back in the day. My kids love hearing those stories. But there's also moments of like what we dealt with when we were grieving and what we dealt with when we were struggling financially and what we dealt with.
Yep.
It's also those seasons of life that are inevitable that everybody has as they grow into an adult. So if they get to experience through your past stories, how you handled grief, how you went to God with your grief, how you went to God with the person who you were struggling with in a relationship, how you went to God with the financial situation, then when they hit those roadblocks, they can remember back to those things that you've told them of what God has done and can do. And
it's so powerful.
It's so powerful.
You know, and it's biblical. Psalm 107:2 says this, let the redeemed of the Lord, now hold on, ready, here we go, tell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hello, now we got a command. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their stories.
Yeah.
And it's modeled all through the Old Testament. So, will you tell your God stories? Not only will they get to know you, but they will also learn about God through real life things.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just, and not to underestimate the verses, because the verses are the truth about the God that tell us about the God that's the God of your stories. But the fact is that as they hear him embedded in real-life situations, it's like, okay, this Jesus we believe in is not just a belief.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the other person in this house.
Right, right.
There's somebody else who lives here. That's what you want your kids to see.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that, and I think I wrote about this, but when Doug was just 2 years old, his older sister, Lisa, came home and said, Lisa was five, and she said, the little girl across the street, Kim, she said, Kim broke her leg.
Hmm.
Well, when you're two, that sounds like...
Yeah, the end of the world.
Leg broke?
Yeah.
What is that?
No.
That sounds like the end of the world. A leg broke. Yeah. Never occurred to me that could happen.
Yeah.
And he was pretty disturbed by it. And so he went to his mom, and mom took him over to the picture of Jesus in the kitchen, pointed to it, and said, let's pray for Kim. So they did. And then Doug came back 30 minutes later or so and tugged on her slacks and said, Mommy, pray for Kim. And then about a half hour later, he came back, and guess what he said? Mommy, pray for Kim. We think Kim's broken leg may have been the most prayed for in the history of our town.
That's awesome.
Approximately every half hour on the half hour,
yeah.
We went over to the picture of Jesus and prayed for Kim.
Mm.
Well, a couple of days later, Lisa came in, and she said, Mom, Dad, guess what? The doctor said it's not as bad, and it's going to heal faster.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't even know Doug was listening. He went over, pointed to the picture of Jesus, and said, Jesus, make Kim better.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's a real Jesus.
Yes, yeah.
That's not Jesus the belief.
Yeah.
That's Jesus the difference maker.
Mm. I love that so much. We are talking to Ron Hutchcraft, and a lot of what we're hearing this morning is coming out of his booklet, A Jesus of Their Own, Fighting for Faith in the Next Generation. And I really appreciate you visiting with us and sharing some wisdom from this. I know it is going to come in handy for a lot of households. I just want to let our listeners know you can actually get a free copy of this book by going to ynop.org, and you can click on the Contact Us button, fill out that info, and say you want a copy of this book, and then we can send this booklet to you. And it's just one of those things, like when you're going through a season of struggle, or if you have a prodigal child and you just want to know how to pray and what to focus on as you're dealing with that, this is a great resource to have to just be there in that moment.
Marcy, I got to say something about why I'm an OP. You can't stop me.
Okay.
You didn't ask me.
I won't try.
It's big sky country out there, and I love it.
Hmm.
But what I have learned about YNOP listeners is that it's big heart country.
Mm-hmm.
And they when the listeners there are asked to open their hearts and get behind some work of God, whether it's a new station that another area can be illuminated with the good news of Jesus all day, every day, or whether it's a world away in Africa, that I can, from Montana or Wyoming or North Dakota or wherever, that I can reach out and touch a life in Africa. It's just amazing. And the folks there at YNOP, nobody asked me to say anything about this today. But and that's indicative of the kind of people that at YNOP are.
Mm.
That they are so selfless, they are so about other people. And my friend, you as a listener, I think you know this, that there have been many times in your life when Jesus has come to you through this station, and you needed to hear from him. You were concerned, you were confused, you were afraid, you were grieving.
Mm.
You just gotten bad news from the doctor. You were something with a son or a daughter or your husband or your wife, and life was, you had hit something hard. And you knew you could turn on this station and Jesus would be there with a human voice that you could listen to in a song or a teacher. And I would just say, when you give and when they ask you to do that, you just realize on the other side of your gift is a life you are touching.
Mm-hmm.
Because YNOP isn't about ultimately microphones and studios and programs, none of that. It's about lives at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lives at stake every day who need to encounter Jesus this day, where they are. They're not going to come someplace for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to need to be where they are, in their car, on their phone, in their home, wherever. And he can be. It's all day Jesus, all day, every day, all night, every night, there's Jesus at YNOP. Boy, if that was ever needed, it is desperately needed now. Our enemy is pouring out the garbage at record rates. It's time that we be pouring out the gospel and be as bold as he is with his garbage. To be as bold as he is with our gospel.
Mm.
He's got the bad news. We got the good news. And I would just say, let's make this the boldest and best week of sharing and hope for the people of that area and across the world, where you touch across the world, as YNOP has ever experienced. Mm. Let's do it up this time.
I love that. Thank you so much, Ron. I really appreciate it. It's true. That's why I love working here, because the heart is sharing the gospel in any way possible, everywhere possible. That's kind of what the focus is on here, and that's why I love working here. So again, if you want to receive one of those, a copy of Ron's book, A Jesus of Their Own, again, you can get that at our website, ynop.org, by clicking the Contact Us button and letting us know you want that book. Ron, I was just hoping that you could maybe end our time together here by praying for our young people. As you mentioned in the beginning, you know, we are looking at suicide rates that are very high right now. We're looking at loneliness right now. Despite the social media connection, our kids are super lonely. We are dealing with identity issues and confusion around identity all the time right now. And I, as parents and grandparents, I choose to have hope for our young generation, because I've seen good in our kids. I've seen good in young people. There is a lot of good out there. So don't be fearful about those social issues. But could you be praying for us and for our kids when it comes to the stuff that we're dealing with in the world today? Really, the answer is Jesus. That's really all there is to it.
I would love to. Well, Lord, we come to you, first of all, giving you great praise for the fact that when the foundations are being shaken, as the psalmist said, the Lord is in his heavenly temple, the Lord, holy temple, the Lord is on his heavenly throne. The throne never moves. You are in charge. And you march on, as the prophet said in the Old Testament, you continue, you are always marching on. And we thank you, Lord, that you are active and in charge in a world that seems to be spinning out of control. We are sad in some ways for our children. We are glad for opportunities they have that are unprecedented and possibilities. But by the same token, the bombardment that they face, the pressures that they face, are really tough. But Lord, you are a Savior who is bigger than every mountain. Mm-hmm. You are the answer to every problem. You are able, out of your incredible love resources, to move into the loneliest, most depressed, most rebellious, deepest need of a human heart. There is no young person beyond your reach. Every young person we see, according to your word, is made in the image of God. Every one of them is God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works you prepared in advance for them to do. Now, Lord, a lot of them don't know that. Most of them don't. We pray that you will spark a move of your Spirit among this generation that will be unprecedented in the history of the church. You said in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. Oh, God, would you make that happen even today? Mm-hmm. We pray for an outpouring of your Spirit, and Lord, for a young man or woman there are names now. That's all flesh, but I'm going to ask. I can't name the names, but right now there's a grandma who's naming a name. Mm-hmm. A grandpa. There's an aunt or an uncle or a brother or sister or a mom or dad, and Lord, you hear that name in their heart. We pray, dear Lord, that their prayer and their crying out to you will give them the ability to be patient and unconditionally loving, to have open arms, to be able to know when to speak and when to be quiet, and to know how to tell their God stories. And we just pray, Lord, for breakthroughs among the hearts of family members that are family members of those who are listening right now. And Lord, for this generation, we ask you to do a mighty work that would show them their great worth to you, your great love for them, the great potential of their life. And also, Lord, the great detours and mistakes that perhaps they are making, call them out of those. And for a lot of lost sheep who look like kids we know, we pray, Lord, that the day will come soon when you will bring them on your shoulders, so to speak, and say, I have found my lost sheep, and I brought them home. We do not accept the current situation as the final outcome, for you are a pursuing shepherd. And so, Lord, where there is fear in a parent's heart, may you replace it. You said you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So, Lord, may we rest in your sovereign pursuit and love. We dedicate to you, Lord, whether they have done it yet or not, we dedicate the children you gave us, whether they be by birth or by just relationship contact, in ministry, wherever, those you've given to us, we say, as Jesus did of those you gave him, protect them from the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And may there be many who will believe in you through them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Well, you've put up with a lot of me, but people are like, I don't have to listen to that award that you've been for.
We loved it. We loved it.
I had them all today.
I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate this booklet that you brought and are allowing our listeners to grab for free. Again, you can find that by going to ynop.org and clicking on Contact Us. Give us your info. Let us know you want the information. We'll get this, A Jesus of Their Own, Fighting for Faith in the Next Generation by Ron Hutchcraft. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Marcy. You're another big heart and big sky country. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast by Your Network of Praise. We enjoy bringing a variety of conversations your way about important topics or events. We hope you'll share these with your friends and family, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast by linking to our page at ynop.org, so you'll always be informed when there are new conversations ready for your enjoyment. To find out more about Your Network of Praise, go to ynop.org or visit us on Facebook.